The Beatles changed the paradigm of popular music. Bands started writing their own songs. For songwriters working in the old Tin Pan Alley system, this could have been a disaster. Rock historian Ed Ward looks at how a number of these songwriters and songwriting teams coped with the new order.
By 1965, songs like this one, sung by the Chiffons and written by the brill-building songwriting team of Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry, were fading from the scene. A movement spearheaded by the Beatles, picked up by their countrymen the Kinks and the Animals, and reinforced in America by the likes of the Byrds, saw American teenagers opting for more serious subjects and more complex harmonies. The artists were writing their own material, so that songwriters who had been used to showing up at a session with demo records of songs they'd written for the performers to choose from were becoming irrelevant. Or were they? Were all these new performers actually writing all their own material?
I can feel a new expression on my face. I can feel a growing sensation taking place.
On the face of it, the Searchers' Every Time You Walk Into the Room was a pretty typical British Invasion record, from the chiming electric 12-string guitar to the maracas used as percussion. The band was even from Liverpool, but the song was written by a West Coast-based professional songwriter named Jackie DeShannon, who had also provided the four with their first hit, Needles and Pins. Paul Revere and the Raiders were an American success story. Regional hits in the Pacific Northwest had led to a contract with Columbia Records and a television job with Dick Clark's replacement for American Bandstand called Where the Action Is. Sure, they wore hokey Revolutionary War outfits on stage, but hey, their keyboard player really was named Paul Revere. And in fact, in their previous incarnation as Local Wonders, they, like many of the other bands on that scene, were known for their instrumentals. When it came time for their vocalist, Mark Lindsay, to sing, he used other people's words.
Girl, you got this, need to know what I'm all about. Well, there's something that you dig you can't figure out. Well, now you wanna know what moves my soul and what ticks inside of my brain. Well, I got this need I just can't control, and it's a driving me insane. I can't take it. Almost tasty, baby, and sweet as wine.
The fact is, their two top 10 hits in the 1960s, Hungry and Kicks, were both products of the brill building team of Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who also wrote for the Chiffons, the Cinderellas, and Gene Pitney. And the Byrds? They had two songwriting dynamos, Gene Clark and David Crosby, and were famous for their electric versions of Bob Dylan songs. But even so, they occasionally availed themselves of the prose.
Don't doubt yourself, babe. Let your feet stand up for your beliefs, babe. I know what's running through your mind. You think you ought to capture time. Make love, walk a straight and narrow.
Don't Doubt Yourself, Babe was another Jackie DeShannon song. The band knew her because she hung around the Troubadour bar like they did, so when they needed material for their first album, she had it. The Byrds even raided the Brill Building itself once for a song by perhaps its most famous team, Jerry Goffin and Carole King. The song they got later took on a life of its own. Dusty Springfield's version of Wasn't Born to Follow, a song the Byrds had put into the soundtrack of the film Easy Rider, is based on another version of the song by a band called The City. The City, in fact, pointed the direction which some of these songwriters went. It was fronted by Carole King, and although it didn't do very well, it gave her the confidence to record an album under her own name. Tapestry would go on to become one of the best-selling albums of all time. And then there were songwriters who weren't particularly successful, for whom performance might be a way out of the contract songwriting game.
I may go out tomorrow if I can borrow a coat to wear. Oh, I'd step out in style with my sincere smile and my dancing bear. Outrageous, allow me, courageous, charming. Oh, who would think a boy and bear could be well accepted everywhere? It's just amazing how fair people can be.
Clearly, someone who wrote songs like this, even if they could get them recorded by former Animals keyboardist Alan Price, was too weird for the pop market. But young Randy Newman had connections in the film music business and was lucky enough to get a contract with Warner Brothers, which gave him a free hand. Eventually, it would pay off for both parties, but by then the word songwriter would have the word singer in front of it.
Ed Ward lives in the south of France. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.